We've discussed the volume. Remember, a really practical book. It's the New Testament Book of Wisdom. It's like the New Testament Proverbs. And though the outline doesn't seem to necessarily be highly structured, it clearly is about how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to live in our Christianity out in this world. And so there are, and under the value, and this is to me significant, this is not insignificant in the book of James, and this is something that I would admit that I haven't noticed, hadn't paid attention. I mean, I've preached through James fully, I think, two times, and somewhat a third time as well. I've shared it in several Sunday school classes when I filled in here and so forth. It's a great book, but then to step back and see what it's founded on and the amazing, just the emphasis on some of these doctrines, I think will move you, I trust. So you see in my notes, there are three prominent doctrines in James that are both foundational. They provide the reason why James encourages us to live a certain way, but then they're also motivational. They provide the yes, go do it, all right, throughout the whole flow of the book. And so the first doctrine that is just, you see it throughout, and you can see all the references, and we're going to look at them all. I think it's important for us to see these tonight, that the person of God is both our foundation for Christian living and our motivation. We are going to one day face Him, give an answer. The one who provided the way of our salvation, the one who is so good to us. And so let's talk about it. In verse 5 of chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. This is when it's really good to be liberal in your giving, all right? And it's, by the way, that is godly. Any Christian that's walking close to his Lord will have an immense generous heart. It's just the way of it. We can't be like God unless we're givers. And that means, yes, that affects our pocketbook, but it affects our time. It affects our spirit towards one another. We are generous, hospitable people. I'm reminded of the requirement of the pastor. He's given to hospitality. It just kind of oozes out of him, right? Always giving of himself, giving of his time, encouraging, that kind of stuff. That's supposed to be the responsibility of the pastor. Really, the reality is that should be a characteristic of every Christian that's following God. Because it's God-like. God is liberal with His giving. There's no greater demonstration of that than the giving of His Son. No greater gift than that. God the Father gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for you and I. And that was a huge sacrifice. God walked away from God at the cross. Did you catch that? Now, we sing it in one of our choir songs. God forsook God. God the Father forsook God the Son. We don't understand the immensity and the enormity of that sacrifice. May we be like God. He was generous. Verse 13 of chapter 1. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with either evil, neither tempteth he any man. Let us be careful to be if we're frustrated at God for our life and circumstances. You say, well, I never blame God for my temptation to sin. Be careful. You're mad at the weather? Now, let me be honest. I know I just told you I'm a sunshine boy. I just love summer. But God gives summer, fall, winter, spring. He sends the rain or He sends the dryness. As much as man would like to think that he affects the climate. No. God's in control. And he will never be the cause of anybody's sin. He cannot tempt us. He is totally, in every corner of his being, holy. That's amazing, and that's a blessing. So don't blame God for your sin. Passing blame to someone else is basically saying, God, the person you made over there is the cause for my sin. That's blaming God. You understand? Wait a second. Admit you're responsible for your sin. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. All right? Verse 17. So God is generous, God is holy. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift, not just most, not some, every, all. As I recall, that word is the word in the Greek word for all. It's all encompassing. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no changing, neither shadow of turning. He's not wishy-washy. He's not one way one day and another way another day. I can't ever figure out my God. He's changing all the time. There are plenty of world religions that have a God like that. You live in absolute fear of your compulsive God. No, our God is God, period. He never changes. And He is always, in every circumstance, He is always good. There is, and that ties in back to verse 13. He cannot tempt you with evil. He is not tempted with evil. Evil is not a part of who He is. So therefore, He is always, always good. Always good. Everything that God permits and allows, directs in our life, is good. And He can, in fact, this is the amazing thing about our God, is He can take evil in our life and turn it to good. We could cite story after story in Scripture. Let me give one. His name is Solomon. Who was his mom? Bathsheba. Who was his dad? David. Should have they been married? Mm-mm. And yet God took that evil and turned it for good. And in fact, He was the one God, when Solomon was born, named Solomon. He didn't name him Solomon. Jedediah. Beloved of God. That's huge. Folks, when you failed God, and God chooses to say, I still love you, that's amazing. Now, David had sought forgiveness, all of those things. He'd submitted to his God. I understand that. He faced God's wrath. And yet God, in the midst of that, was good to David. Isn't that something? That's amazing. God is always good. All right. Verse 17 again. I gave it away. Without no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I apologize. One other note I wanted you to make. Notice that the goodness is connected to light. We love the daytime. Why is it that we don't like darkness? I think there is something in our nature that says dark is bad. It's the way God designed it. Now, I realize in the perfect creation, there was light and darkness, okay? But as sin entered this world and this creation, my heart was black with sin, all right? Darkness is connected with evil. It has been since the writing of the Bible, really, all right? And light is a picture of God's goodness. We rejoice at the sunrise, don't we? It's a joyful thing to be a people of the day. That's another illustration in Scripture. We are not people of the night, all right? So anyways, that's connected with being good. All right, and obviously, without variableness, neither shadow of turning. The word variableness, maybe some of you have a note in your Bible. Another way to say that word is about variation. We don't have God version 1, God version 2, or God version 1a. Make sense? He needs no updating. Aren't you glad for that? Because if He needed updating, He's not God. And then we're in a mess. Because version 1a of God might not have the same requirements as version 1. What a sad state. I am so glad that God never changes. You can trust Him. You know that what He will judge will always be the same. What He will uphold and praise will always be the same. The end zone doesn't ever change for God, for us. Praise God. Okay. He is one. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. Verse 18, let's start there. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, real faith produces results in the sense that you live out what you believe. That's what he's saying. Now he gives a warning. Thou believest that there is one God. So there would be people that would say, I believe, a Jew, can you remember the Jews? We believe in one God. All right? They quote what's called the Old Testament Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6. There is one God over the Jews and so forth. And I will love him with all my heart and soul and so forth. Thou believest that there is one God. Well, all right, you do well. And then here's the dagger. The devils also believe and tremble. Just because you know that there's one God does not redeem your soul. There has to be faith. You have to trust that God to redeem your soul. Now, the point is the statement is that there's only one God. There's one and only one. There's not two or three gods. Even within the Trinity, those aren't various gods. Those are the same God, all right? There is only one God. Aren't you glad you're not Hindu? What, my heart breaks for them. Their life is messed up because they have multiple gods. And there, I mean, there's numerous world religions, not just Hinduism, but that's one that's well known. So we have only one God, and we have to just serve Him, obey Him, love Him, follow Him. Isn't that great? And then chapter 3, verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. God has chosen for us to understand Him and to know Him as our Father. Now that word Father comes with a lot of good baggage, all right? Biblical baggage. He is not mother. He is not brother. Now Jesus Christ claims that name for us in our relationship with Him. Christ is our brother. We are part of His family. He became one of us. A unique relationship, but God is our Father. That means He's in charge. By the way, that means He's always right. That means I must obey. But that means He loves me, and He will always do what's best for me. You walk through Scripture, and the Father is the one that will always do what's best. Remember Jesus said, will any of you ask of your father an egg, and will He give him a stone? Of course not is the answer. No one could think of a good father that would ever play games with his children that way. No, a father has this immense desire and passion, innately, not even necessarily because he's saved, although it's enhanced and made best when he's saved, but to do well to his children. You know our world is way upside down when our fathers today neglect their children, because that goes against their very nature. God loves His children. Therefore, He sent His Son. Aren't these amazing truths? And this helps me live for my God, to want to obey Him. By the way, God praises His children. I'll never forget when Dad, one time, I helped him fix our car top carrier. Was it one of those canvas car top carriers? I was a junior hire. And it always, you know, things break on the day you're going on vacation. And I think we were heading to Colorado, and we had this crazy car top carrier, and it broke. And I was looking at it, and I knew Dad was just getting frustrated. He was trying to not, just like, And I said, Dad, could you drill a hole and put a screw right there? And I don't know if you ever remember this. You probably don't remember it. It was one of the highlights of my junior high years. I did something, and Dad thought it was good. Not that he said all my things were bad, just to understand it. But as a junior high boy, I was right at that age where I needed affirmation from Dad. And he said, son, that'll work. And in a matter of a few minutes, we had it fixed. It was like, yes. I can think. Most junior high boys can't. You know that, right? I can think. Dad even said so. Anyway, that obviously it made, Dad doesn't even remember it. I remember to this day. And how many years ago? It was like 45 or 40 years ago or whatever, right? Wow. And God does that for us all the time. He's our Father. Isn't that a great God? I must stop. I'm too excited. We have a wonderful God. And now you see, as we walk through the practical book of James, as we understand that God is behind it, it motivates us and rejoices our heart to follow God in everything. We'll keep our tongue, chapter 3, because God's our Father. We'll live our faith because God is always good. Makes sense? There's connection there. So let us rejoice in our God and serve Him well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray that you would help us to continue to rejoice in who you are. Thank you for the time together. Thank you for the season of prayer. Please help us to be faithful through the week in that ministry. Prosper in all we do. May we honor you the rest of our days this week in your name. Amen.